Hey guys, so quick little content warning on this episode. We talk about a lot of child sexual abuse and assault and crimes against children. So if that is not your cup of tea, feel free to skip this episode. If you do want to continue further, this is your content warning. It gets kind of graphic.
We just didn't realize it. The doc, our stories, yeah. Like it didn't connect until... Yeah. Now
that's okay.
That's okay.
Hey guys, Sabrina's taking a hit right now.
Happy to yap at you again.
I've been arrested for yap-evaded assault. I just made that one up off the dome.
Oh my god! I never would have guessed that. That flowed.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Anyway, what's new with you? Anything new? Anything you want to share with the class?
Today, one of my clients, he was on a vacation in Japan, and he brought me back a keychain that's a little bowl of ramen.
Cute.
And it's, like, so realistic looking. You for sure would want to chew on it. I have to keep it away from you. Very cute.
Keep your cool keychains away from me, guys. I'll chew on them.
Yeah, you better watch
chew
out.
Chew them right up.
There's a chewer on the loose. What's new with you?
Nothing really new with me.
I'm
walking
walk
a little.
Again.
Yeah, I can walk a little bit better. Still a little bit of pain, but definitely not as much as it used to be.
And
I'm walking a little bit easier and. I think I'm going to try and skate after my art show, which is in April, so don't worry, I'm not rushing. I'm still going to give myself plenty of time.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't feel like I'm ready after my art show, then I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to, like, force myself to just
Good.
Do it. But that's what I'm hoping is, like, the heal time. Like, that's my goal, essentially.
Yeah.
So, other than that, I've just been working, painting, making stuff for the art show, hanging out. It's just kind of, you know...
Vibing.
Chilling. Yeah, so there hasn't been, like, a consistent flow of uploads. I have been kind of busy and also have been having kind of a bit of burnout with editing. So I apologize for that. But I'm still chugging through, so don't you worry.
You're doing the damn thing.
I'm doing the damn thing. And I'm doing the best that I can right now, guys.
And you know what? It's okay. We're
Period.
Busy people with lives.
Period.
We're girl bosses.
Period.
So sometimes we gotta rest.
I got a bag to get.
We get back, we rest, we eat hot chip, we lie.
Yeah.
And we be bisexual.
And that's just how we choose to live our lives. I don't know what your lifestyle is like, but...
That's my Bible.
That's my Bible, and that's the God I choose to live by.
That's my religion.
Let's see. I don't think there's any updates about the show
that
I want to tell.
Can I tell you guys my cuntiest, slayest Pokemon that I have
yes,
in Pokemon
please
Go?
Do. Please do.
Okay.
Okay.
Let me pull it back up. I know, it's not 2016 anymore.
I played Pokemon Go for a long time up until, like, not that long ago, honestly.
Yeah.
I was running out of space on my phone, and I was like, I don't really use this enough, so I got rid of it.
Yeah, it do be taking up some space. So first off, we have... Deerling.
Love her.
She's a little pink deer with a yellow bow. Adorable. She is so slay. Then we have my personal favorite. Where is she? Oh, here she is. Gothita.
Oh, love Gothita.
Look at her.
She's
just
gorgeous.
A girl.
She's just a girl. She's just a little goth girl.
She's just a little goth girl with lots of bows. And she wears black and white, just like me.
Be Gothita for Halloween.
We have Litten. She's a little fire cat.
Cute.
Super cute.
Like kitten.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly like that.
We also have Purloin.
Purloin. Purloin.
She evolves into Purugly, so not super slay. But Purloin slay. We also have Skitty.
Skitty! I love Skitty.
A little pink kitty cat thing.
Skin kitty.
And last but not least, Zarua.
Zarua.
Who pretends to be other Pokemon.
Oh, she's so cute.
Isn't she so cute? She's the one. Apparently they can be different colors. Mine's black and red. She's also goth.
Love the goth ones. Mm-hmm. They're the top tier for sure.
They are. Well, Raina said that their story has a happy ending, which is mine fantastic does. Because mine so does not.
Mine does have a happy ending. And the way I found this story, I love telling you guys the little rabbit holes I go down to get to these.
Oh, I'm intrigued.
So I decided to look up weird murders. And every time I look that up, it kind of comes up with the same story. So I decided to look up something different. I was like, let me get more specific with it.
Okay.
And I Googled crimes committed with weird murder weapons.
Ooh. Thinking outside the box.
And one of the first articles that popped up was about a man who got killed with a pickle jar.
Shut up.
And originally, when I first looked into this story, the first few articles I found were only like a few paragraphs. So I was like, well, fuck. I don't think I'm going to be able to find enough info to give you guys. But then I dug a little deeper. I found an article that is super, super long. It gave me all the details. Apparently this person was also on Oprah. So I found the Oprah article about it too and like got some stuff from that. So
thanks, Oprah.
Yeah, thanks, Oprah. And Sabrina and I have just binged Quiet on Set.
Oh my God.
And if you don't know what that is the documentary that covers Dan Schneider from Nickelodeon and a lot of the behind the scenes abuse that was going on and stuff like that. It's a really fucking good documentary. You should watch it. I definitely don't think it goes into length enough about certain things, but we'll leave it at that. Yeah,
and we grew up on Nickelodeon. Mm-hmm. I remember seeing those scenes. Now looking back at it, it's fucking horrifying.
Yeah.
And so like I kind of feel like they low key abused everyone who watched it because like we did not consent to see that stuff.
For sure.
Gross.
Yeah. Very strange. Very weird.
Fuck you, Dan Schneider. We hate Dan Schneider.
This is a Dan Schneider haters club.
If Dan Schneider has no haters, it's because I'm dead. If Brian Peck has no haters, it's because I am no longer on this earth.
The aliens either took me or I'm in the ground.
I am worm food.
But anyway, yeah, so that's how I ended up with this story. So I'm just going to jump right in.
Jump right in.
This story takes place on Friday, January 22nd, 2010.
Okay.
In North Ridgeville, Ohio.
Okay.
So Terry Coverbish? Coverbassage? Coverbassage. I remember like listening to something. I think it's Coverbassic. Anyway. He was unemployed at the time and was getting ready to drive his wife, Donna, to work that morning and to drop his son, Daniel, who was 16, off at the home of a family friend whose name is Dwayne Hurley, who is 55.
Okay.
Dwayne had agreed to take Daniel to school because apparently this is Terry's excuse. The economy was rough at the time. He thought it would maybe save him a little bit of money if all he had to do was take his wife to work and go home. Instead of having to take his wife to work, take his son to school, drive back home, you know, like instead of having to run back and forth a bunch, he was like, okay, it'll save a little gas if I just let our family friend take you to school.
Okay. Yeah. Or you could get a job. Whatever.
Sparkle, sparkle.
Sprinkle, sprinkle.
Sprinkle, sprinkle.
That's off brand.
But anyway, that's what Terry says.
Okay, Terry.
So Daniel was experiencing some behavior issues in school, and he hated going to school, and he had gotten expelled multiple times, and at this point was now attending a school specifically for troubled teens.
Poor thing.
That Friday, he didn't even want to go to school, but his parents agreed to give him some money for a date he wanted to plan for his year-long girlfriend at the time, Katie.
Cute.
So they were like, if you go to school, we'll give you some money so you can plan this date. Apparently, it was about to be their year anniversary, so he wanted to plan a cute little date for them.
Oh.
So I'm going to go back a little and talk about our good old family friend, Dwayne.
Okay, tell us about Dwayne. Spill the tea.
It's weird.
Oh, boy.
So the way Dwayne came into their lives as a family friend was that he approached Daniel outside of his elementary school.
Mm-hmm.
I think he was like 14 at the time, so he was probably in like 8th grade.
Mm-hmm.
Daniel was very intrigued by his dog, and the family was obviously like kind of cautious and like confused. And they were a little concerned when they heard about it. So Dwayne, I guess, kept showing up, and then the family like looked him up and couldn't find anything on him. They did like a background check on him, didn't find any sort of like pedophilia background or anything like that. And Dwayne had started offering like odd jobs to Daniel and his older brother to like just help him with stuff around the house because he was older and disabled. So he was like, I'll pay you if you come, you know, like clean my bathroom or mow my lawn or whatever, just like shit around the house.
And
the parents were apparently always present when he would ask them to do these jobs, so they would go with the kids and let them do the job and make the money and whatever. And they said that he was very kind and very genuine, and eventually he became like part of the family. Like he would come to family events and he would like get invited to holidays, and like he became a big part of the family, almost like a grandfather figure for the kids. Red flag though, because that's weird.
Yeah, like I just feel like if you have such a bad feeling that you do a background check on somebody,
yeah,
like even no matter what it comes back with, like you know.
Yeah.
You know something's wrong.
Yeah. So they kept letting him go, and they kept letting him and his older brother go, and eventually his older brother stopped going, and he was the only one who would go. Anyway, jump back to January 2022, the day we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
At around 8 a.m., about 30 minutes after Daniel was dropped off, Terry, the dad, received a phone call from Daniel. And in the phone call, Daniel was very angry and saying that Dwayne tried to kill him.
Wait, what?
So Terry immediately turned around and found Daniel at the corner of the street with his hands covered in blood.
Oh.
So Terry, for some fucking reason, took Daniel back to Dwayne's house to figure out what happened and what's going on. And when Terry arrived at Dwayne's house, he could see him from the front door laying motionless on the floor in a pool of blood. So he could discern from that that he was probably dead.
Yeah.
So Terry called Donna, Daniel's mom,
mm-hmm.
at about like 8:21 a.m. and told her something terrible had happened and they were going to meet her at work. So she took a second, stepped outside of work. She worked at a like supermarket, and she met them in the parking lot and said that Daniel's behavior was strange and alarming because, I mean, he's probably in shock.
Yeah.
And they said, quote, Danny was jumping all around. Donna would later say he was letting out screams and jumping around and hitting his head on the glass. It was like he was losing his mind. Because he was.
And they still haven't called the police?
So unable to get Danny to calm down, Donna urged Terry to take him to a hospital. Because they weren't sure what was going on. They didn't know what the fuck had happened. They were like, just take him to the hospital, get him checked out. So Terry called 911 while on the way to the hospital. To let authorities know that emergency personnel were needed at Dwayne Hurley's house and that he was taking his son to the hospital. By then, it was like 8:46 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And after his arrival at the hospital, it was determined through medical tests that Daniel had elevated levels of a heart enzyme, troponin, which is typically brought on by a high stress level and or by becoming overly excited. And as a result, doctors told the family that Daniel could not be released until the heart enzyme levels returned back to normal, because mm-hmm. he could have a heart attack.
Oh, shit.
So they left him in the hospital. And while he was being observed at the hospital, arrangements were made to transfer Daniel to a pediatric hospital where he would continue to be treated and observed. However, before the transfer could be made, the local police showed up and started fucking interrogating him while he's in a hospital bed because he might have a fucking heart attack.
Yeah, that seems like the perfect time to interrogate somebody.
So, Sergeant Vincent Police of the North Ridgeville Police Department
caught... His name is Sergeant Vincent Police? What?
Yeah.
His last name is Police.
I don't know if it's Police. I think it is, though, because they abbreviate it to SVP. I think it is Sergeant Vincent Police.
That is the craziest part of this whole thing.
So he, you know, got the assignment, and he wanted to conduct the initial interview. And after interviewing the parents, the police learned that Dwayne Hurley was a former city worker. It was a bachelor who lived alone, and his house was less than a mile from the family's home. Mm-hmm. And he sometimes paid Danny and his older teenager brother to help him with chores and stuff like that, like I said. So the boys liked to hang out at Dwayne's house because he had a computer with internet access, cable television, sports cars. Like, he was living good.
Okay.
So they loved going over there because he had all this cool stuff. And they eventually came to view Dwayne as a grandfather, like I said, and particularly Daniel, because he was so young. Mm-hmm. And he had been going to his house for years. And the police then asked Daniel to tell them what happened that day. And he said he didn't really remember, that he was like fuzzy. Mm-hmm. And he recounted how he was dropped off at Dwayne's house. And he explained that he made a pot of coffee, and while it was brewing, he went outside and smoked a cigarette.
Okay.
When he went back inside, he went into Dwayne's room to use the computer, but had been unable to connect to the internet. And he explained that he told Dwayne that he was going to lie down for a bit. And he was quoted saying that Dwayne said he was going to get some pickles. And when they questioned him further on why he would say that, Daniel just said he didn't know. He's like, I don't know why he said that. So at one point, police asked if Dwayne had ever approached him sexually, and he said he didn't remember.
That's not a no.
Yeah. And when police pressed him for more details, Daniel said that he had slept in Hurley's bed, but not, or slept in Dwayne's bed, but not with Dwayne. Hmm. And he explained that if he was sleeping in Dwayne's bed, Dwayne would sleep on the floor, and vice versa. If Dwayne was sleeping in the bed, Daniel would sleep on the floor.
Why is he sleeping over there?
I don't know. I don't know if they were sleeping during the day or...
Yeah, why are they so EP?
Chronic EP disorder. So when confronted about the possibility that Dwayne was a pedophile, Daniel acknowledged that a number of people thought he was. However, Daniel told police that as far as he was concerned, quote unquote, it wasn't like that.
Mm.
So police asked Daniel what the last thing was that he remembered while at Dwayne's house that morning, and Daniel responded that he recalled running down the hallway outside of Dwayne's bedroom and that he thought he was being chased by Dwayne. I don't know what he means by he thought. I never found clarification on that. So Daniel also said that he believed he would be locked up over what happened that morning, even though he claimed it was in self-defense.
So he went to go take a nap, Dwayne went to go get pickles, and then he wakes up covered in blood?
No. So he went to go take a nap, Dwayne went to go get pickles, and then within that time, they ended up in Dwayne's bedroom. Like, a conversation transpired or something where they ended up in Dwayne's bedroom, and then suddenly, like, Daniel remembers just running out of Dwayne's bedroom.
Okay.
So he thought he was being chased by him, so he just remembers running away from him.
Mm-hmm.
So At one point during questioning, the police told Daniel that situations such as what he was currently involved in were, quote-unquote, often related to sex or drugs. Just prior to Daniel's parents halting this, the interrogation at that point, they were like, whoa, whoa, whoa. We want an attorney. Get out. Yeah. Before the police left the room, Daniel said, it's one of the two things you said. That's all I'm saying. At that point, police were unable to question Danny any further due to the fact that his parents had invoked his right to get a lawyer. But earlier, it should be noted, before Daniel's parents had asked for a lawyer, Daniel was asked to strip down and was examined by the police at the hospital for the presence of any injuries. Mm-hmm. And aside from a few fresh scratches observed on his forearm, a scratch on his chest, and a small abrasion on his nose, no other injuries were noted. So while Daniel was at the hospital, police were investigating Dwayne's home to figure out what happened. The responding officers quickly saw a man who was visible from a window in the front door, lying on his stomach on a landing at the top of the short flight of stairs. When they went inside, they determined that he was indeed dead, and officers could see that he had sustained severe wounds to his head and torso. And there were deep lacerations to his head that exposed his skull.
Oh my God.
The cops found a knife laying next to his body, and it was still wet with blood. And it was believed that he had been struck in the head and then stabbed a number of times. And I'll get more into that in a second. So the officers also noted blood splatter, and is it spatter or splatter?
I think it could be either.
I guess that's true. Noted blood spatter and blood smears in several areas of the house, including a living room wall and ceiling and hallway walls and doors. So there was blood everywhere, basically. They discovered a bloody shoe print in the kitchen and blood droplets on the hallway carpet. When the investigating officers went into Dwayne's bedroom, they noted a strong aroma of pickles and found a large pickle jar on the floor near the bed. They noted that the pickles were scattered about on the floor and on the bedding, along with the juice, obviously from the jar. So, the lead officer wrote in the preliminary report that it appeared that the assault had started in the bedroom and that the pickle jar may have been used in the attack, and there were no weapons or other items in the room that could have caused a severe laceration on Dwayne's head. So, despite the 911 call from Danny's father, Northridgeville Police Chief Richard D. Thomas said that his office was not yet naming a suspect and initially released few details about the homicide because they hadn't been able to fully investigate Daniel yet and talk to him. So, the officer said that Dwayne's death was only the fourth or fifth homicide that had occurred in the otherwise quiet community since he joined the police department in 1979.
And what a fucking murder it was.
Yeah. So after detectives and crime scene technicians began their work at the home, the police said that they had gathered a sizable quantity of evidence to essentially name Danny as their main suspect, or Daniel. He went by both. So essentially he was hit over the head with the pickles and then stabbed 55 times.
Jesus.
So, during Daniel's testimony, he expressed how his relationship with Dwayne had started out platonic, but had transformed into something sexual. When he first met Dwayne, he said he was only 12 or 13 years old, so I was wrong, but he was still in, like, elementary, middle school. The relationship between Daniel and Dwayne took a dramatic turn when Daniel turned 15. At that time, according to Daniel, Dwayne began engaging him in sexual speak. And he would ask him, for example, how many different ways he could say penis. And Daniel said that he would buy him stuff. And Daniel said, quote, if my parents knew that, they wouldn't let me go with him. So he never, that's why he never told them what was happening, because he kept wanting to get stuff, kind of.
Yeah. Well, he's a kid.
Yeah. So Daniel said that the sexual speak eventually turned into fondling and had turned into, like, mutual masturbation and then eventually to oral sex. And he appeared at a loss for words when prompted to explain why he was having sex with Dwayne. And he just said, I don't really know. He said, when I wanted to drive the Corvette, he said, you know what that means, bigger toys, bigger things.
Oh.
Yeah. So essentially what happened on the morning of January 22nd was that Dwayne had agreed to not let him go to school and help him plan the candlelit dinner for Katie. And within that conversation, Daniel had expressed that he wanted the sexual aspect of their relationship to stop. And he gets dropped off that morning and they're talking about that dinner when Dwayne moves the conversation into the bedroom. And Daniel, I guess, like, panicked because he knew that going into the bedroom meant something, and he knew that Dwayne was looking at him in a way that typically led to sexual acts. So he hit him over the head with the pickle jar, and then within the struggle to get away, got hold of a knife, and to make sure that he was dead, he proceeded to stab him 55 times.
I love that that implies that he brought the pickles from the kitchen into the bedroom
for the conversation.
Or were the pickles already there?
Oh.
Was Dwayne munching on pickles in bed?
Sounds like something he would do. Not gonna lie.
Or Danny's just open jar of pickles munching while they're having this conversation.
Maybe. Maybe they were both just snacking.
Yeah.
And then turned for the worst.
Mm-hmm.
So after a long investigation and a traumatic process, the courts ended up only giving Daniel 5 months of probation in light of the years of abuse that he endured and the act of self-defense.
Good.
So I'm not sure what he's up to now, but I do want to really quickly say, if you are a man or you know a man that has been assaulted or abused, you can call 800-656-HOPE, which is 4763. So that's 800-656-4763 to connect with someone. This is a hotline specifically for men that are struggling with abuse. And as we know, like, homosexual abuse is already really looked over, especially when it comes to male relationships. So please reach out if you need help. And I'm glad Daniel got his justice.
Good for Daniel.
Yeah. Fuck Dwayne.
Kill your abusers.
Kill your abusers.
Love that.
But yeah, so that's the story of Daniel Coverbish. Coverbick. Wow. Coverbisk? I don't know. Coverback? I don't know.
Coppertone?
Coverbasic? It's Coverbasic.
Mm.
Daniel Coverbasic.
I think you said it differently every single time you said
it. It's fine. We're not a podcast for accuracy. We're a podcast for a good time.
We're here for funsies.
We're just here to info dump on you.
Yeah.
And if you want to listen to it,
we're literally high all of the time.
Literally. And also, like, we don't have a degree in any of this shit. Like, we're just fucking.
No.
We're just fucking around, guys.
We're just, like, fucking.
Please do not take everything we say with, like, a grain of salt, because we could have wrong info. I do my best to do as good of research as I can, but don't, like, sue us if we have the wrong info.
Yeah, please don't sue us. God. I can't afford that.
You want to sue me for none of the money that I have? Go for it. Go for it. You're not getting anything back.
No. You might get my mobile home, I suppose.
I have nothing. You could get my car. Go for it, I guess. I'll make do.
And I'll be like, dude, come on.
Yeah. All right. Well, you want to take a little quick little snack break?
Yeah, I do. Craving pickles.
Craving pickles all of a sudden. Weird. Okay, we'll be back. So I found a juicy secret.
Okay.
On the r/confessions.
Cool.
So it says, I regularly watch videos of monkeys having sex while smoking weed. And he said, it doesn't turn me on. So it's not like watching porn, but I think it's very funny.
Oh, all right.
It says the noises and moves they do in the act are hysterical, and I always laugh my ass off. He says, for example, there was this one video where the boy monkey is fucking the girl monkey, making ooh ah ah noises. Then right as he came, he goes ah 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 ow, and I was dying, laughing and pissing off my wife. Or laughing and pissed off my wife because I woke her up from laughing so hard. I showed her the video, but she just said it's disgusting and she doesn't get it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a little weird.
That's when you post on Reddit and don't tell people IRL.
Yeah. I accidentally slept with my childhood's best friend's dad.
Bestie, how do you accidentally do that?
So I, 22 female, recently started seeing this older guy, 40, and we've been on a few dates, but last night was the first time I actually went over to his place. Now, the night went great and normal, but then this morning when he was making us breakfast, I started really looking around. I'm a little nosy, I admit. And I saw his family photos. Now, I already knew he had a daughter with his high school girlfriend and that she would be my age now, but what I didn't expect was that I actually knew her. I saw a photo of them together when she was like 7, and I remembered her as she was my best friend from 2nd to 5th grade. We went to different schools after, and I haven't seen her since. But seeing that picture made so many memories come back. It was so weird, and I'm still more in shock than anything. I haven't told him that I recognize his daughter. Also, I never met him at that age. I only ever met her mom as I went over. It's the first comment says, this is the first time accidentally slept with actually checks out.
Yeah, right.
This one says, considering quitting my job to write erotic fiction online.
Do it.
As a university student completing my 2nd degree, I find myself in precarious job situation. Despite diligent job hunting, I've struggled to secure employment due to being labeled overqualified by many employers who are worried that I will not stay for long. Consequently, I'm stuck in a less than ideal job where my employer's inconsistency with hours and demands for unpaid time strained. To cope with the stress of classes and work, I turned to writing niche erotic fiction, which unexpectedly gained traction. With the launch of a Patreon page last month, I managed to earn over $430. Surpassing my meager monthly income?
What?
From my job? You make $430 a month, girl? Get out of there.
Bro.
I'm seriously contemplating quitting my job. Yeah, quit your job.
Quit your fucking job, dude. Make erotic. How niche are we talking?
I don't know. I would like to know that also. Nobody asked.
Nobody asked? Nobody asked.
I want to know what kind of fiction.
That's the first thing I picked up on.
Ooh, what kind?
You just can't say niche like that and not elaborate.
Yeah, like, how niche are we talking? Are we talking, like, fan fiction or, like character fiction or, like what kind?
YN?
Why?
I'm not gonna lie, I'm a fanfic reader.
I used to be. I'm not much of a fanfic reader anymore.
I used to be a fanfic writer.
I also used to be a fanfic writer. I was actually pretty popular on Wattpad.
I love that for you.
I had like 14,000 reads or something.
Ooh.
Yeah. It was a pretty popular. It was awful. I don't know why I had so many reads. It was really bad.
Was it?
A Niall Horan fanfiction.
I was just about to ask if it was One Direction.
It was. I wrote another one. So that, I don't even remember what that one was about. I wrote another one after that where it was about Liam and he was like a street fighter. And it was something Payne because it's his last name. I don't remember what it was fully called. And then I wrote another one. I think it was about Harry. That was like a werewolf fan fiction where Harry was a wolf.
No. Please, no.
It's so bad.
That's hilarious. Well, you're packing another one. Mm-hmm. I want to listen to my dad's Facebook Live.
Okay.
He's such a fool.
But they thought I did. Okay, so this is what happened. So,
we're getting the tea.
I was approached today and asked if I had to transfer class yet. Just a week course at work, and I don't have it. But they thought I did because I'm doing so well. So the person, new person, came up to me, didn't know me. She said, you've done transfer before. I said, no. She's like, no. She's like, you know what the process is, right? I said, with like dispositions and stuff, I'm sure I can figure it out. She's like, no, you need to do the week training, and she left. Well, the floor manager came by. I said, look, man, let me sign into those transfers. He's like, Eddie, do your thing. And I jumped in there, and I closed three of them. And that was in my last 2 hours. That was more than the people that had taken the training. I think one girl got one. I'm a promoter already. I'm already gonna make more. You know, I'm gonna be making so much money here. I'm getting my exam. I'm getting my license, my agent license. And they're gonna pay for it. Right now, they pay for all my medical, dental, vision. I might fix my eye. I might get implants. God is blessing me so hard right now.
God is blessing
beautiful
me.
Girlfriend, which I almost fucked up. But she forgave me, so hopefully it's gonna be alright. And I got great friends. I'm not doing drugs anymore.
Nice.
And I'm sure you can tell by the way I look. I do drink a little bit, but that's it.
Good for him.
He does look better.
Drugs for the devil.
Good.
I did smoke some wacky tobacco.
I have closure.
Kind of one good thing that did happen, was, you know, the visit I got last week. Well, I closure, and I almost messed up my relationship. But it's gonna be okay.
This is Sabrina's dad on Facebook Live.
She understands I had things to do. Thankfully, I did them in that school. But my life is great. I want to invite.
Okay, thank you. Eddie, do your thing.
Eddie, do your thing.
I have a smoking hot girlfriend.
I almost fucked up. But...
she forgave me. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay.
I'm
my
ready,
story.
I'm ready? No, you ain't.
You gonna sing that song for us again?
Hold on, I wanna find it. Okay. Stop playing! Oh my god, it played when I closed my phone. That was scary. SpongeBob trying to haunt me. It's like, oh, you like this song?
You like it, huh?
Okay, anyway.
Okay, so I'm sorry, guys. This one is gonna be depressing.
Womp womp.
Womp womp. And, like, also along the same line as Raina's, kind of, and the documentary, whoa, kind of. So, fun. Sorry.
Yay.
We should probably give a trigger warning on this one. Maybe, like, we could just put that in, like, the very, very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Or, like, the description. Okay, so my story is gonna be about Marcus Wesson, who is Fresno's worst serial killer.
Ooh.
And not worst as in bad at killing, worst as in killed the most people.
Yeah.
Just like, had to make that clear.
Not worst as in like he was bad at it.
Yeah.
He was good at it. That's the problem.
Right. Marcus Wesson was born August 22, 1946 in Kansas to a Seventh-day Adventist family. His father was an abusive alcoholic who eventually left, and his mother and three younger siblings moved to California. Wesson dropped out of high school and joined the Army, where he served from 1966 to 1968 as an ambulance driver. After being discharged, Wesson moved in with a girlfriend named Rosemary Solorio. Rosemary Solorio, who already had 8 children. Oh. She was older than him.
Oh, girl got busy.
Yeah, and then she gave birth to Wesson's son in 1971.
Sick.
In 1974, Wesson began sexually abusing his stepdaughter, Elizabeth.
Oh, no.
Yeah, when she was only 8 years old.
Oh, no.
He married her.
Huh?
When she was only 14 years old. And he was 34.
Ew.
So I guess he just got tired of her mom and decided to marry her instead.
What the fuck?
Only a few months later, like 4 months... Elizabeth gave birth to their first child.
Oh my god.
She ended up having 10 children with Wesson.
Jesus Christ.
One of Elizabeth's younger sisters also left her 7 children with them due to her own addiction issues.
Oh.
They lived in extreme poverty. Wesson didn't work. He was on disability.
Bum.
They were squatting in houses sometimes,
no.
on boats. And, I mean, there's just so many kids together. The older children are working and giving their money to him.
Mm-hmm.
He is extremely abusive to the whole family.
Yeah.
He homeschooled all of the children by teaching them only from his handwritten Bible.
What the fuck?
Where he referred to Jesus as a vampire.
What the fuck? Vampire Jesus?
Yeah.
Come on, bro.
Vampire Jesus.
This is the skin of a sinner, Bella.
How did you do that? Wow! That punched me in the face.
I'd like to think I don't know. My brain works in mysterious ways.
At your brain? Firing on all cylinders today, baby.
She's all on right now.
Mm-hmm.
This is the skin of a sinner, Bella.
Can you make me a shirt that says that?
I'm sure I had. There's no way I could have just made that up. There. Somebody had to have said it first. There's no way I just invented that.
I need him dressed as like a Interview with a Vampire. Vampire.
It needs to be Vampire Jesus.
Yeah.
It needs to be Sparkling Edward as Vampire Jesus,
mm-hmm.
and it needs to say, "This is the skin of a sinner, Bella."
Yeah.
And we'll make it and we'll post it on the sewer memes, and people won't understand it unless they listen to this fucking episode.
Whoa. Whoa. The people would love our podcast.
They would.
The ratties. Excuse me. We're not people.
Scurry our way.
So, all the kids believe that Wesson was God, and they called him Master and Lord. They were being prepared for Armageddon, and the girls were being prepared for being his wives.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a cult.
Yes. 100% it was a cult. The girls weren't allowed to speak to their mother or their male siblings.
What?
Yeah. And they were forced to, like, groom him, like, brush his hair, rub his feet, massage Ew. Him. Yeah, gross.
Okay, Dan Schneider.
Right. And the mom, Elizabeth, who was originally 14 years old when they got married.
Yeah.
He basically, like, did not allow her to be around her children, like, help, like, interact with her children. Like, oh my God. Literally kept her isolated.
She was just a fucking baby factory.
Yes.
Oh my God.
Mm-hmm. I'm
Make
sure
me
just,
more disciples.
Right. And I'm sure just, like, another way of staying, of, like, keeping her beat down.
Yeah.
And keeping the children submissive.
Yeah, because how is she going to be able to fight back if she's fucking pregnant all the time?
Right.
Or recovering from postpartum.
Yeah. So, besides Elizabeth, their 10 children.
Mm-hmm. And the 7 others.
And the 7 others. And his son that he had with Elizabeth's mother.
Mm-hmm.
Wesson raped 2 of his daughters and 3 of his nieces.
Ugh.
And all 5 of them became pregnant with his children.
Oh my God.
So, yeah. It's a lot.
Ugh.
In the early 2000s, Wesson, they were living in Fresno, California, and at some point he's trying to, like, relocate all of his family, in quotation marks, because mm-hmm. not really a family,
yeah.
To Washington State, where his parents lived. So on March 12th, 2004, 2 of Wesson's nieces who had, like, gotten away from them,
mm-hmm.
well, from him, and some other extended family members went to his, like, compound to try and convince him to, like, let go of the children
yeah.
and let them take them away. The Fresno police were called to assist with what they were told was a custody situation. I would say this was, like, much more than a custody
yeah,
situation.
Yeah, it's definitely deeper than that.
Yeah, it's a little bit more serious.
Yeah.
So they show up. They're like, what the fuck is this place? There's a ton of people here. Wesson comes to the door and he tells police, like, just wait there for a second. I'm going to go get them. He goes inside and he shoots everyone who is in there.
What?
Yeah.
Just fucking cuz?
Yeah. So the police claim that they did not hear any gunshots, which, like, impossible. Huh? Impossible. Because other witnesses that were around testified that they heard them.
Yeah, what the fuck?
So really, they just kind of stood there while he murdered his entire family.
Oh my god.
In the end, police found 9 bodies, all shot through the eye.
Oh my god.
In a room filled with antique coffins.
What the fuck?
Fucking weird shit. The victims included Sabrina, who's 25. No! His daughter.
No!
Yeah, she spelled it weird, though.
Oh.
She's not a Sabrina Sabrina.
Okay, gotcha.
Hers is like S-E-B-R-E-N-A-H.
Sabrina.
Yeah. So his 25-year-old daughter, Sabrina. His 17-year-old daughter, Elizabeth. Also the same name as his wife. Yeah.
What the fuck?
Illabel, who was 8. She was his daughter and granddaughter.
Oh.
Aviv, who was 7. She was his daughter and grandniece.
Were they, like, deformed?
I don't think so. Well, I honestly don't know.
Like, I guess deformed is, like, a harsh term. I don't know how you would say it.
I feel like that requires, like, more...
lineage?
Yeah.
Gotcha.
I don't know, though. I've never seen any pictures of them. Mm. Jonathan, who was also 7, was his son and grandnephew.
Okay.
Ethan, who was 4, was his son and grandnephew. Marshy, who was 1, he was his son and grandson. That was Sabrina's son.
Oh.
Jiva, who was 1, was his daughter and granddaughter.
Ugh.
And Sedona, who was 1, who was his daughter and grandniece.
Okay.
So, he comes back outside. The bastard didn't shoot himself.
Of course not.
They arrest him, they take him away. At his trial, the defense claimed that Sabrina was actually the one to pull the trigger.
Huh?
And then commit suicide because her DNA was found on the gun. To which I say, was it her blood?
Yeah.
From being shot through the eye?
Yeah. How was there not more blood on it? Like...
I think all of their DNA should probably be on that gun. Yeah. Whatever. however, Wesson was still convicted of murder. Good. As the jury basically agreed that even if Sabrina's the one who pulled the trigger, it's because he convinced them to have, like, some weird kind of, like, suicide pact.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, they were all being indoctrinated into basically a cult.
They literally did not know anything other than what he told them.
Yeah.
They were all being abused.
In his handwritten Bible.
Right.
They didn't know what the world was like.
No, they were all being abused, and he was God.
Yeah.
And he was like, you know, they're never going to separate us. Like,
yeah, it's the end of our time. Let's go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He probably told them it was Armageddon.
Yeah.
Wesson was found guilty on 9 counts of first-degree murder.
Moida.
I'm just going to say it again. Wesson was found guilty on 9 counts of first-degree murder and 14 counts of forcible rape and sexual molestation of 7 different nieces and daughters.
Yeah.
He was given the death sentence on June 27, 2005. However, he is currently in San Quentin State Prison because California has since outlawed the death penalty.
Bruh, he was already in line.
That is one motherfucker deserves to be dead.
Yeah.
Deserves
I'm surprised
it.
He's not. I'm surprised he hasn't been killed in prison.
I know, right?
Because they don't fuck with pedophiles.
I know. The reason I found this was actually because it was just like the 20-year anniversary of it.
Oh.
Yeah.
So how old would he be now? Like 80?
He was born in 1946, so 54 plus 24, 78. He's 78 right now.
I was close. Good for me.
Do you want to see what he looks like?
Ew, I guess.
He's scary. Oh, he's so scary.
Oh! Oh!
Yeah.
Oh my god. Oh, yeah, I would be terrified of that.
Right?
Ooh.
Yeah, he looks like a scary ogre man.
Yeah. He was probably fucking huge, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it kind of had a happy ending because he's rotting in prison and those children no longer have to live that life. But
Yeah,
also,
that's definitely true.
it sucks that they had to end that way and live that life at all.
And there were more children that like weren't there. So like there are still some of his children that are alive.
Yeah.
And like I can't imagine what that must be like
God, yeah.
to one get out of that environment and realize everything that is wrong and has been happening to them. And then have to deal with the deaths of nine of their
Siblings,
siblings.
yeah.
Oof.
God. Woof.
This is a heavy one.
Yeah, it was. If you need help, there are hotlines.
Yeah.
And like I said, I said mine earlier. Reach out if you need help, if you can. Please be safe. Please be careful.
Please talk to trusted adults.
Yeah, please talk to trusted adults. If you're in an abusive relationship, please talk to a trusted friend. Do not push all your friends away. Don't do
Yeah.
it. I know it's so easy to do, but you gotta fight it as long as possible because you really need that su extra support.
Yeah.
So,
And people want to help.
yeah, reach out to your friends, check on your friends, reach out for help. I just want everybody to be safe and happy.
Yeah, please be safe,
I'm a hater, but
please.
only because these people are miserable. Okay, do you want to read some cards?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Show me your deck.
Show me that. So I was gonna pick up the one that Sean stole from Urban Outfitters for me, but
It's a chain, it's fair game.
period. I decided to use this one that Lou's sibling's girlfriend got me for Christmas.
Oh, sweet.
It is the Light Seer's Pocket Tarot by Chris Ann.
Thanks, Chris Ann.
It's got some pretty,
Oh, that is
yeah,
pretty.
pretty illustration. Ooh. And they're small enough for my tiny little hands to shuffle.
So, like, what kind of reading are we doing?
I don't know. Is there anything specific you want to ask, or do you want to just do a vibe check?
Let's just vibe.
We'll do one more for good measure. Oh, hold on, that's uneven.
One more time.
One more time. Da, 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 da.
You
What
know,
does it break? Oh yeah.
have you heard the theory that pop music was really pushed in the early 2000s to keep people from getting depressed about the 2008 recession?
Mean, that wouldn't surprise me, honestly.
All I'm saying is do it again.
Do you want to read
Yeah.
the little things in our little
The little book is
pocketbook?
so
I
cute.
know, it's a thick book.
Yeah, she is. All I'm saying is bring back the club bangers.
For real. First card pulled is the sun.
Oh, great card. Great, great, great. Let me look for what this one says. Oh, the right side is light seer and the reverse side is shadow seer.
Ooh.
That's cool.
So it came up the light side, so.
Yeah. The sun breathes life into everything he touches. Radiating brightly, he creates a path of love and harmonic abundance. This is a card of joyful celebration and a vibrant sign of positivity and success. Expect to find
Yay.
bliss and be ready to take inspired action based on radical positivity and generosity. Allow others to bask in the warm glow of your beaming heart and your inspired mind. People will feel drawn to you when the sun card arrives. Hello, charisma. Live it up. This card is a reassuring sign that things are unfolding beautifully. You are
Yay.
perfect, whole, and loved by the cosmos. And it may be time to deal with any feelings of inadequacy or not enoughness in order to find your shiny confidence. The sun is on its way to illuminate the corners of your heart and to set your world ablaze with opportunity and inspiration.
Oh.
And then it has a little quote. It says, "I am whole. I am more than enough. I shine like the sun when I am happy."
Oh.
That was really cute.
That was super cute. Oh my god, these ones are so sweet.
I know. Aww. What's the next one? What's the next one?
Watch the next one be like, death.
Yeah, like... the tower!
Page of Swords.
Okay. Curious and intelligent, this page has a thirst for knowledge that seems unquenchable. She's an incredibly quick-witted communicator, and she's often compelled to share her many ideas or messages with others. Also, this is the first time I've ever heard a page be referred to as she, and I love that.
Period.
At times, she's so talkative.
We are some yappers.
That it becomes too much for others to process, and her intense energy can come across as unsettled or even nervous. She's calling us autistic.
Yeah, she is.
She suggests using an air of inventiveness in your current pursuit. Your skill... Ugh, I can't talk. Your goals will be met by walking a path of honest discovery, especially where others are concerned. Keep the light bulbs of curiosity turned on and cultivate a beginner's mindset as you strive to learn new things. Avoid falling into gossip or even arrogance. He called us autistic chismosas. Or so even true, arrogance with your communication. In shadow, this page can be all talk and no action. Remember that everyone who crosses your path has something specific to teach you and that mirrors are all around.
Okay.
Remain open to unexpected lessons, share truthfully, and delight in every interaction.
Okay.
This quote is, I learn and I expand my consciousness and open up for new opportunities for my life.
Okay. So it's telling us... to put the hater aside for a little bit.
Stop swimming on the haterade a little bit.
Yeah, and just find good in every interaction.
Yeah, do the shit you talk about.
Yeah. Okay, that's good. Okay, feeling good. Okay, last one is the Fool.
Let's see it. Ugh, gorge. Beautiful. She looks like she's about to fall backwards into the sea. Mm-hmm.
Gorgina, and it looks like she's holding an amethyst.
Ooh. And it has some spreads in this little book. That's cool.
The Fool's a good card, too, though.
Yeah. And the Fool is the beginning of the cycle. Every dream achieved begins with the seemingly foolish notion that there is something bigger out there, something greater to explore and to become. This childlike optimism comes from deep within your knowing, and it reminds you that you can achieve all the magical things that you've been dreaming about. The journey of the soul begins with a single step, and you may find yourself on the edge of an epic journey. Turn towards your future with enthusiasm and know that a divine leap of faith is required in order to claim the reward that the abyss is offering. You may not feel ready, you may not be ready, but there is magic in the air and the universe is waiting to support you with infinite love and guidance. Trust your intuition as you swan dive into the seat of potential. I am ready for this adventure down my soul path. I love these cards. Yeah. They're so cute.
I want to pull one more. I want to pull a love card.
Okay, pull a love card.
Let's see. Okay. The Ace of Cups.
The Shadow Seer. A time to nurture more self-love, making sure you aren't repressing your emotions, opening up to the possibility of love.
Okay, so that kind of ties in with the Fool.
Yeah.
Like letting yourself open up to opportunity in the future.
The Fool is about taking that step into the unknown when she is stepping off the cliff.
Mm-hmm.
So take the step, open up your heart.
Yeah. Don't suppress my emotions. Stop being a fucking hater.
Don't be a bitch. You can hate a little as a treat.
The arrogance and communication really got me because I was like, ooh. I feel like I can be like that sometimes, a little arrogant in my communication. Thinking that I'm communicating better. Mm. And it's like, yeah.
I get that.
Yeah. So.
But you know what? This is a kick-ass spread.
Mm-hmm.
This is good fucking vibes for us for the rest of March.
Yay.
And hopefully the rest of the year. I claim that.
Yes.
I'm claiming that energy.
Yeah, it started out rough, but we're so back.
We've worked through the communication issues that we talked about last tarot reading.
Yes.
And now the sun is out. The sun is shining.
And everything's going to be okay.
Do, 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 do,
do. Do, do, do. All right, guys. Well, that was our vibe check for the rest of the month.
Hell yeah, brother.
If you have any questions, comments, corrections, concerns, suggestions, if you want to share some juicy gossip, confessions, secrets, please, you can leave it anonymously. Or you can say you want it to be anonymous and I'll make up fake names. But you can email us at greenwitchcottagepod@gmail.com. If you want to follow us on Instagram, we're not super crazy active on there. I'm so sorry. I'm really bad about posting on there. But you can follow us at GWC Podcast on Instagram.
Give yourself a break, okay?
But yeah, and until next time, remember to light up
and look out.
And we love you.
Good night.
Bye.